This podcast is part of the Game and Entertainment Network. Visit tgenetwork.net to find the latest episodes from all our shows.
Welcome to the Pixels and Dice Podcast, a show by gamers, for gamers. We cover everything from Mario to Munchkin, role-playing to retro games, and everything in between. Now, without further ado, let's get on with the show.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the show. I'm Scormus.
And I'm Biolis.
And happy early Halloween, I guess.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Now, normally, if you've listened to any of my other podcasts I've done in the past, and I've done a lot of them, usually October is all Halloween all the time. I'll do themed shows every single week, and yeah, that didn't work out so well. Last year? My worst performing shows were my October shows because people got so sick of listening to horror stuff. I'm sorry. I love Halloween. It's my favorite holiday.
Well, there's a lot of people out there who feel the same way.
Yeah. So
they're just not fans of yours.
Yeah, apparently not. I have fans? No. Anyway, I've spared y'all. This month wasn't all Halloween all the time, was it?
No.
We talked about other stuff. We talked about Guild Wars 2 and music and yada, yada, yada. And that's great. But now, it's the show before Halloween. So you get to sit down and listen to me talk about Halloween, God. Not gonna curse. I'm gonna be good.
Why? Being evil's more fun.
Yeah, I agree. So anyway, today I was thinking we could talk about, you know, good ways that gaming can get us in the mood for Halloween.
Okay. Sounds like fun.
You know, like horror video games and horror-based role-playing games and all that good stuff.
I wish I could remember the name of it, but I just before we started the recording today, I was looking at a trailer for an upcoming game. A family member, she posted it, where you get to play the part of the bad guy, Jason, the slasher.
You mean Friday the 13th?
Role. It's like Friday the 13th, except it's set in a high school, and you're having to take down all the prom kids.
Huh.
And you have all these abilities. One of them is kind of like you go into this, like, time warp that allows you to zoom from one end of the hall to the other end of the hall instantly, or it puts you up on the roof and you're looking down through the skylight, and you can set traps, because one of them, it shows the guy sets this trap on the ground and zooms up to the roof and is looking through the skylight and watches this kid step into the trap, gets caught. He breaks through the skylight, jumps down, and boom, kid's gone.
Nice.
And so, I mean, it's Halloween. What can you expect? These games are coming out in droves.
Yeah.
Horror or psychological horror games fill up my Steam list. You know, all the different, you know, games that they're bringing out that they want you to look at and
right
possibly buy. The majority of them are psychological horror, and I don't know why.
Oh, that's big with some people.
I know, but I don't play those games that often. You play one, and all of a sudden, that's what your queue fills up with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know when it comes to, like, retro games, you know, mm-hmm. I've got my Raspberry Pi retro console that I built.
Right.
And I plan this weekend, because coming up, I've got my two-week Halloween vacation that I always take. This coming weekend, I'm going to sit down and play me a buttload of Silent Hill.
Okay.
The original on PlayStation. Hell boy. Yeah. Normally, I don't go for those types of games. I'm not a big Resident Evil type guy. The controls just irritate me.
Right.
But I really want to play something spooky. Turn the lights off and just sit there in front of the big screen. And I guess that's supposed to be a really moody and atmospheric game. I've never actually played it, so I'm really going to give it a try this weekend.
Yeah, I've heard that Silent Hill, and there's a couple others that are just... A lot of people say it's not a good idea to play them with the lights low and the music playing quietly. That it's just, you know, it's probably just, you know, bullshit hype. But
yeah,
it's kind of like I watched some people play Five Nights at Freddy's.
Oh,
with
yeah.
the lights down low and the creepy music playing, and so when you get the little shock value thing,
that game's
they about
all about
shat themselves.
That game's all about jump scares, though.
Uh-huh.
And that's what bothers me about modern horror. With very few exceptions, the, you know, movie-wise, it's all about boo. It's not a creeping horror. It's not, they don't build to anything. I mean, I would much rather...
You mean like the House on Haunted Hill?
Actually, I would much rather sit down and watch The Uninvited. Not the modern version, the original from the 40s, or, I cannot remember the name of that other movie. The Haunting. Not the remake with Catherine Zeta-Jones and all that. No, the original that was actually G-rated. But you sit down in a dark room and watch that, it is absolutely terrifying. But then
I know I've seen it. I'm not remembering it.
Oh, it's great. I mean, there's a scene where the two girls are in the bedroom and there's all this noise going on around them. It just, the way they build up to it, it just works. That's all I can say. It just works. Anyway, but that's getting on movies. This isn't about movies.
No, it's about games.
Can you think of any...
What are your favorite games?
I was just going to ask you about retro games. Is there a retro game that you like that's a good horror game?
Parasite Eve?
Really?
That was my favorite.
I've never tried it.
It's a fun game. It's got a lot of really good cutscenes, and considering the time it was made, they were... quite a bit better than your standard intermission, you know, your little break from the game where they have the movie playing.
Yeah.
And I think we mentioned this in another show where you're out in the park and this horse bursts into flames and it just takes off dragging its little trailer behind it, its little cart.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting cutscene. It's really well done.
Wow.
And then there's another one where there's this rat walking across the floor and it gets affected by the whatever. And its skin just like peels off of it and it starts growing all these tendrils and getting bigger. And It's like something out of The Thing.
Nice.
And so for an early 90s game, that was pretty badass.
Yeah. I haven't actually played that one. I've got it, but I haven't played it because multi-disc games are difficult through RetroArch. So,
I should still have the discs if you want to play it on your PlayStation.
What's the point of having a retro console if you have to actually break out the original equipment?
I'm just saying, if you want to play it.
I know.
I have the discs.
I know. Anyway,
yes.
How about board games?
There's not a lot of horror board games that I can think of. I mean, there's that one we played,
Betrayal at House on the Hill.
House on the Hill, okay.
Now that
was fun.
Yeah, that is an absolute classic. Mm-hmm. Between that and Zombie Dice, I would say those are great Halloween type games. Now, some people would say Zombie Dice isn't scary, but it doesn't have to be.
Well, then you get into games like, Cultists and Cthulhu, or is that dice game?
Oh, yeah, I remember what you were talking about. Yeah.
Creatures and Cultists. Okay, that's a pretty cool game, too, but it's not a horror game.
It can be, but it's not a scary horror game. It's horror-themed, but it's more comedy.
Mm.
I mean, I always play clowns. My cult are clowns. And I name each and every cultist.
Well, that's because you're crazy.
Oh, but it's so much fun. Now, if I had to pick a board or card game to get into a Halloween mood, I would play Gloom. Whoa. Now, it's kind of a card game, but it's, you know, not your standard card game. The whole point is you get a character that is something very akin to a character out of, say, the Addams Family.
Okay.
And the whole point of the game is you play cards, you know, life event cards on your character that are very dark and destructive. Basically, bad things. You're playing bad things that happen to your character over and over again until you get to the point where your character dies a horrible, grisly, dismal death. And the whole point is to die the most horrible, grisly, depressing death you can. But here's the kicker. You get good cards, happy events, you know, positive events. That if I'm playing against you and you're laying down these things, I can go, oh, wait, but this happy thing just happened to you and it totally breaks your string. And now you got to find a way to overcome that positive thing in your life. It sounds weird, but in application, it is freaking amazing. Ask our friends from Portland. They play a lot of it.
Sounds like depression fuel to me.
Well, no, because it's funny. These are funny things that happen. It's basically a comedy horror game. Like I said, very much in the style of the Addams Family comic. Not the movie. I mean, yes, the movie some, but more the comic. The original comic. And so it's very dark and moody and funny as hell. Because you're trying to screw yourself over as well as you can. You got this great thing. You're going to play them all out. And then you have a happy marriage. Wait, what? Oh, no. And now you got to find a way to turn that around. So, and the thing is that Gloom actually has many different facets to itself. Like, I've seen Gloom in space. I have Cthulhu Gloom. I have Fairy Tale Gloom. And all of these work with the base version of the game. So you can add Lovecraftian elements into your base Gloom by just throwing in Cthulhu Gloom. Or you can have a Cthulian and Fairy Tale type game by slamming those together, because the Fairy Tale version is more like comedic Hans Christian Andersen meets the Grimm Brothers type stories.
Well, it doesn't matter which fairy tale author. Most of those were pretty damn dark.
Really dark. So that would be something I would love for us to sit down and play.
I'm willing to give it a try.
Yeah. I mean, if we weren't playing Dresden Files for the October game, then maybe we would do a cards game, you know, like we tried that one year where we played just different types of horror-themed games.
Yeah.
So, that's something. Or maybe when International Tabletop Game comes up next year, we can sit down and play some Gloom.
Sounds good.
I would like that.
I'd just like to start gaming again.
Yeah, we really need to do that. At least once a month.
For our Game Master?
I thought we were supposed to play back in June, but then that all fell apart, and not sure what happened after that.
Yes, and now it's almost October.
I know, right? Time flies when you're not having fun.
Oh, I'm just having fun. It's just not role-playing.
Exactly. And that actually gets us around to talking about role-playing games. There's actually quite a few options for role-playing games. What would be your favorite choice?
Well, I really like Dresden Files because that can be very dark. But the one that I played the most would be Werewolf. I was never a fan of vampires, so I stayed away from the Vampire Masquerade game, and I played Werewolf the Apocalypse the most.
Yeah.
That is more, it's less of a, you know, immediate threat kind of horror. It's more of a, the apocalypse is coming, the end of the world is coming, and you're doing everything you can to try and stave it off. So it's a different kind of horror. It's a long-term dread that's coming to a head. And instead of, like, you know, there's monsters in your closet and you're stuck in your room.
Yeah. Now see, for me, the entire World of Darkness, while it is horror themed, it never really struck me as a Halloween type game. I mean, it can be, but none of the games are scary. They're all effectively action adventure.
That's because the DM or the Game Master didn't make them horror.
Well, when you're dealing with really powerful supernatural beings, it's hard to scare the players. Unless you throw out big nasties that they absolutely can't beat, and then you end up telling the group that they're always going to end up facing monsters they can't beat or opponents they can't beat, and then they just feel depressed and they don't want to play anymore.
But if you start the adventure out with the players knowing that they are, that there is this massive horror that they are not going to be able to beat, at least not right yet, they have to get better. And you build it up from there. With the proper game master, you can make it a horror game.
Yeah. Now, for me, I've got lots of different options when it comes to role-playing games. I collect role-playing games. As you know, we mm-hmm. don't play them all, but we've played a lot of them. And I've mentioned on other shows in the past, you know, like, oh, All Flesh Must Be Eaten. Great horror game.
It's a good zombie game.
Yeah.
But again, it's an action-adventure game unless the game master puts out the extra effort to make it a horror game.
Oh, I scared the hell out of you guys that one time.
I wouldn't say scared.
The bus?
Or...
The bus trip was one hell of an adventure.
It was a good adventure. But it wasn't scary. It was interesting.
At least some of the people were scared. I loved
having the serial killer as part of the group.
Yeah. He was perfect.
He did a great job.
He did. And my wife paid the price.
Yes.
But, you know, I've mentioned that game before, but today, actually, I'd like to feature a role-playing game that I don't think anybody really thinks about anymore. And that's Innomini. It's from Steve Jackson Games. It is a role-playing game set in the near future. So it's kind of urban modern horror along the lines of Dresden Files. But it's kind of steeped in Christian mythology. Yes, I'm going to say mythology here because of the setting. Players either play demons or angels. Mm-hmm. You can play a mixed group, but that's not the point of the game. The
right.
point is you're playing either angels or demons. The end of the world is coming. And you've got to fight against the opposing side. Now, we're not talking, okay, the horsemen are riding right now, but that's coming. And so the buildup to that, to the rapture and all that, is coming. The seals are opening and yada, yada, yada. But it's more of a street-level personal combat, more of a, you know, the opposing side. Because you used, if you're a demon, you used to be an angel. You know them. And they may have been friends. They may have been former lovers. They may have been, you know, your closest friend. And now you have to fight them. And I'm not really doing it justice describing it here.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes for a very personal situation. And yes, you are a powerful being. But you're constrained by what you have to do. I mean, if you're a demon, you can't just go running around causing chaos and havoc and whatnot, because that's opposing the, that might mess up the plans of those above you, and they will squish you like a bug. You have to work low level. You have to work behind the scenes to do what you gotta do. Same thing on the angel side. They can't just come out and start smiting the opposition. They can't. Sometimes they have to sit and watch while innocent humans are killed or their lives are destroyed because they can't come out in the open. And it just screams for a great game. Like you said, not necessarily scary horror, but along the lines of a werewolf, vampire, mage, that sort of thing. And I guess they did eventually put out The Fallen. I never got it. But right along those lines. And it's a game we never actually played.
I made a character for it, but that's about as far as it went.
Yeah, unfortunately, our group could never decide on which side they wanted to be. Some wanted to be one side, some wanted to be the other, and a couple people wanted to play pagan deities, which you can. They're just not very powerful. And it would have been complete and utter chaos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one game that I played in that actually had a sense of dread, that actually felt more like a horror game than any other game I've ever played, was Call of Cthulhu.
Really?
Yeah. The, I can't remember, the one with the snow lodge, I'm losing the name.
Nightmare in Norway.
That one had a pretty good dread to it. You know, you're trapped in that cabin and you know they just keep coming.
Yeah.
And then there was the one with the rats in the cellar. That one was pretty good too.
Yeah.
And the one that was probably the most dread was the one where the group of us went to try and stop the cultists from raising Cthulhu, and we didn't quite make it.
Shadows of Yogg-Sothoth.
That was awesome. There was like, what, two people who survived the adventure?
Yourself and Jason were the only two who came out of that adventure. And I pissed off everybody else. But I'm sorry.
Cthulhu rose. You have to stop him.
And you did escape. They didn't. I told people, make two characters and expect them to die. What do you want from me?
Well, it's not like you didn't warn them.
I did. They knew, and they still got mad. Oh, well. Actually, that does bring to mind one other role-playing game. And I know not to focus on role-playing games so much, but Chill.
Chill.
Yeah, I don't think I ever ran it for you guys. It's a game I've very rarely ran. I got it in like 1986. And
that would be why.
I know I played it for folks down in Coos Bay a few times. It's just your basic, you're a supernatural investigator type game. It's got...
I have played Chill, now that I think about it.
Yeah, it's got mummies, werewolves, vampires. It basically has a very universal monsters sort of feel. That game can be scary as hell. The only thing scarier then that game is trying to figure it out. The systems suck so hard. You remember the yellow box Marvel Superheroes?
Oh, yeah.
With the charts that you had to go and you'd, you know, roll a die and compare to the chart with your stat. Uh-huh. Same sort of system. Yeah. But excellent
setting.
That was,
let's try and do something different than D&D.
Right. Right.
That worked real well.
Not so much. But like Rift, excellent setting. Systems definitely have something to be desired.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, we're running a little short on time, so quickly, how about just regular video games or MMORPGs? Which one would you suggest for people to get into a Halloween mood?
Well, I always liked the Halloween event in World of Warcraft.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the Headless Horseman, always fun. But since I'm, you know, pretty much a hardcore Guild Wars 2 fan, their Halloween event is, in my opinion, equal to the Headless Horseman. Hmm. And it has more things that you can do instead of just do the horseman or the other little events that
the bonfire and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm going to stick with Guild Wars 2's Halloween event. Mad King says is always fun.
Now, I think I've mentioned in the past, Lord of the Rings Online.
Uh-huh.
They have it hasn't changed much over the years, but they have a Halloween event that is set in the Shire at the Party Tree, and they have basically a specific dungeon that you can go into where you're going around through the basement of Bilbo Baggins' house, and it's got ghosts and it's got traps and whatnot, and it's not deadly, but it is a huge amount of fun. Lots of puzzles to figure out, and I always try to make it there at least once a year because it's very atmospheric and it can be done solo.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all. It may not be scary, but it definitely puts you into a positive Halloween mood.
For some reason, when you were talking about traps and, you know, ghosts and all that, that reminded me of the jumping puzzle in Lion's Arch, where you're going after a pirate's treasure,
mm-hmm.
and you're being guided by the captain. He wants to share his loot with you if you're worthy. And so he's basically taking you on this tour of the cavern that it's hidden in, and he's laughing it up every time you get caught in one of his traps, or you run across the corpse of his first mate, or you get lost in the maze, or he plays a game of lights on, lights off with you as you're trying to jump from pedestal to pedestal to make it across this large open area.
Yes, been there, done that, won't go back.
Oh, it's fun, especially if you have a cheat. My flamethrower engineer, you just hit the flame and it lights up the area enough so you can jump from pedestal to pedestal without having the light on.
Nice.
Yeah, I know it's a cheat, but hey, it works.
Well, anyway, we're a little long, so we should probably wrap this up. Any final thoughts?
Final thoughts? No, not really. I'm having a good time.
Okay. Well, happy Halloween to everybody. And
yes, happy Halloween.
Till next time, I'm Scormus.
And I'm Baolus.
Generic catchphrase ending.
Thanks for listening to the Pixels and Dice podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please check out our other content at gamingstuff.website. We have articles, videos, and lots more to enjoy there. So until next time, generic catchphrase ending.